Welcome back to our study of Luke. We are in chapter 19, and we left off with the parable of the 10 minas. And so I want us to read verse 11 again, and we're going to read this parable together. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away.
I'm going to say something right there. They had the idea that God was going to set up a physical kingdom. They thought it was going to appear immediately. Now, we've already learned from the 17th chapter of Luke, verse 21, that God's kingdom is in us. That's an internal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical, natural kingdom. That's why the religious people, the high priest, Caiaphas, all these people, they couldn't accept the Messiah because Jesus did not come in the way they were expecting. They were expecting the Messiah to come in and overthrow the Roman government and set up a physical, natural kingdom on earth. And so that's what this is referring to, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Okay?
Therefore, he said, a nobleman traveling to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king and then return. He called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. At his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those slaves he had given the money to so he could find out how much they had made in business. The first came forward and said, master, your mina has earned 10 more minas. Well done, good slave, he told him. Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. The second came and said, master, your mina has made 5 minas. So he said to him, you will be over 5 towns. And another came and said, master, here is your mina. I have kept it hidden away in a cloth, because I was afraid of you, for you're a tough man. You collect what you don't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. He told him, I will judge you by what you've said, you evil slave. If you knew I was a tough man, collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest. So he said to those standing there, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he does not have will be taken away. But bring here these enemies of mine, who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Sounds tough, doesn't it? But there's some things we can learn here, isn't there?
You know, there's a parallel. Understand, this is a parable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that parable is teaching the truth. You understand? So he's not talking about just servants and money. He's using that to teach us the spiritual truth. That's the whole objective here. They're thinking the kingdom of God is coming immediately. And so what he says is, there's a man that's gone into a far country. In other words, I'm going away. And when I go away, my servants are going to be entrusted with my goods. Now, he He trusts us according to our abilities. Note they didn't all get the same amount because we don't all have the same abilities. Some have the abilities with 10, some with 5, some with 1. But everyone has ability to produce. But what are we doing with what we have? Now, the interesting thing is that he's going to, for the purpose of taking over a city, he's going to get a kingdom. But the citizens don't want him. Sound familiar? Jesus came to take over. He came to get a kingdom here. You understand? But how many people don't want to submit to the kingdom of God? And then he's entrusted. And all of us are going to be accountable for what we've been entrusted with. Okay? It's not the amount. It's what we do with the amount. The one who had 10 doubled, so did the one with 5. What did he do? He doubled. The one who was given 1 could have doubled, but he didn't do anything with what he had. And there's so many people that are not doing anything with what they have. God's given us gifts and abilities, you understand. What are we doing with what God's given us? Now, this guy has an excuse. Well, I know that you're tough. So I didn't want to lose your money. So I hid your money. You know, I can't tell you how many people are afraid to step out for God because they think they might make a mistake. Mm-hmm. They might not do this. They might not do that. And I just tell them, I say, suck it up, buddy. You will make a mistake. Just go ahead and factor that in, because there is no human being on earth perfect, infallible. And the person that's not making a mistake is not doing anything. Mm-hmm. God has not called us to be flawless. He's called us to be obedient. And when we stumble, he'll help us back up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you that to get the mentality that, you know, I'm going to make a mistake and that's all right. I'm telling you, strive for perfection. But if you don't make it perfect, don't let that devastate you. Learn from your mistakes and all this other, okay? And so getting back to the one who didn't do anything with what God had given him, he called it unprofitable.
Yeah.
His master had entrusted him with something, but he didn't do anything with it. And he called him unprofitable. At least you could have gotten me interest off of it, not just bury it in the ground. So he said, cast the unprofitable servant. Take what he has. Give it to the one with 10. I trust him. You understand? He has the abilities. And he's using his abilities. And cast this one into outer darkness. I'm telling you, people are going to be in for a rude awakening when we all stand before the judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and are judged by what we've done here on earth according to our works. Read 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Paul talks about this, okay? But we will all be brought into account. What have you done with what I've entrusted you with? You understand? What have you done with it? Have you buried it? Or have you used it and multiplied it? Do you know how you get a crop? You take the seed you have and sow it. You can't just hold on to the seed and get any more. But you know, if you sow that crop, you're not only going to get the crop, you're going to get more seed back. So you can sow again. You follow me? And this is what Jesus is looking for out of our lives, is production. God's not looking for deadbeats. God's not looking for non-productive people. God's looking for people who have a mind to work, who have a mind to produce. You understand? Who will use the gifts, abilities, whatever God's given you, you'll use that for the glory of God. Whatever it is. And don't compare yourself to somebody else. All God expects of you is what He's entrusted to you. If someone else has more, then they have a greater accountability. But all of us are accountable for what we have. Okay?
And I want to look at this, that the enemies a little bit, in the because this ruler said, bring here these enemies of mine. And I was talking to the Lord about this because it sounds harsh to bring the enemies forward and have them slaughtered right away, doesn't it? And what He brought back to mind was the wheat and the tares. You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? Well, when He separates the two, what does He do with the tares? He does. He burns them. Now, you think about that word enemy. And I'm thinking about Jesus. Well, who are Jesus' enemies? Well, if you're friends with the world, you're enemies with God. And so you look at the hearts of these men, the subjects that hated this man because they didn't want him ruling their lives. And I'm going to take it to an extreme here. There are people that simply do not want Jesus ruling their lives. They don't want to submit to His rule and reign. And if a heart is not willing to submit to the rule and reign of God, what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. The Lord is not compromising on His stance and His expectation. There's one way, and it's a narrow way. It's a narrow path. And so you either choose Jesus or you don't. And if you don't, we know the outcome. And so to me, there's a lot of parallels in this parable here that we can look at.
Actually, if you look at how it starts off, they're looking for the kingdom of God. So the parable is a principle of God's kingdom. This is how the kingdom of God works. The way the kingdom of God works is through submission. God entrusts. You submit. Those who won't submit, then they will be judged, they will be condemned, they will be punished. You understand? This is the way the kingdom of God works. The invitation is to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the kingdom works. Anyone is invited in, but not everyone wants to come in. Not everyone wants to be ruled by the master. And then those who are ruled by the master are going to give an account for what they're doing with the master's goods, if you will. And any good thing you have was given to you. So that it's the master's good. It's not yours. He has just entrusted us with various gifts and abilities and this type of thing. This is the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God works. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. This is how God's kingdom works. So we better wake up. Okay?
So how does this relate to us right now? Do we need to be afraid? Do we need to be afraid of our Heavenly Father? Well, I'm going to tell you from my, I'm going to give you my personal experience. When I was born again and received the Holy Spirit, I received a complete nature change. My heart changed. And when my heart changed, it changed in the sense that I wanted to serve the Lord. I have a desire in my heart to serve Him in whatever capacity or way He desires me to do so. Doesn't mean I don't miss it sometimes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying my heart is there to serve Him. And so, with that heart change and that desire to please the one you love, you're going to do what you know to do. And in doing what you know to do, you're going to look back and somehow the Lord's worked through you so you'll be profitable. You understand, this isn't our own conniving, us trying to figure out by works how we're going to get all this situated. That's not how the kingdom of God operates. He operates through our heart. It's through the desires of our heart. You all right with that?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Now let's talk about, I have a heading here that says the triumphal entry. Now keep in mind, He has just told the 12 that He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'm looking at verse 32 of chapter 18. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be insulted. He's going to be spit on. After they flog Him, they're going to kill Him, and He will rise on the third day. And He has predicted His death several times. He's told them, this is what's going to happen. Now we're going to see all of this unfold here. Verse 28 of chapter 19. When He had said these things, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of the disciples and said, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent left and found it just as He told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owner said to them, why are you untying the donkey? The Lord needs it, they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their robes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. And as He was going along, they were spreading their robes on the road. Now He came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. The King who comes in the name of the Lord is the Blessed One. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told Him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out.
This is commonly called the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. This has always intrigued me because it sounds like He's telling them to go steal something. Go into this village that's in front of you, and when you get there, you're going to find this young colt, donkey, untying. It's not theirs. Loosing and bringing to Me. And back many years ago, the Lord just really showed something. He opened the scripture up to me personally. You think of that. We're all donkeys. And I'm being nice. I could use a different word.
Yes.
But we've all been bound, tied up in the past. You understand? The first thing that has to occur is we have to be loosed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand, this donkey had never been ridden on. That means he's not broke, rebellious or whatever, stubborn. None of you fit that area, right? Okay. But we know that's the nature of that particular beast, right? Okay. Isn't it interesting that that's what Jesus chose to ride on? An unbroken animal with the traits of being stubborn. But when he got on it, it didn't follow its old nature, did it? It didn't follow that nature. In other words, when the Lord rides on it, then it's going to do the right thing. Okay? And when the Lord looses us, when the Lord wants to ride on us, so to speak, in other words, representation, carry me wherever you go. Now here's this donkey, he's carrying Jesus. People are throwing their robes down and all this type thing. Now, here's where people get in trouble. A donkey could be thinking they're praising me.
Mm.
And that's where so many ministers get in trouble. They're carrying the message that God gave them. They're representing the Lord, and the people are giving the accolades. Instead of giving the glory to God, they want to take it to themselves like they're some great man of God. No, it's the God of man that's getting the attention. And we have to understand that. Just be thankful that he chose to ride on you. You with me? And so this is carrying him in to the city. Now the interesting thing is carrying him to his death.
Mm.
That's where he's going. But all this praise is going on. You know what happened? The religious people who are looking for the Messiah got upset with the Messiah because they didn't know who he was. Blind, you understand? Rebuke his disciples. All these people cried out, praise God, Hosanna to God in the high. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Tell them to shut up. He said, if they hold their peace, the stones will start crying out. In other words, the rocks are smarter than you. The rocks know who I am. You see all this in that? And what the Lord was showing me is we were all donkeys that he wanted to loose, that he wants to ride on us. He wants us to carry him, but make sure that all the glory and honor and praise goes to him. You understand? And we'll carry him in some undesirable places. Okay?
As he approached and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, surround you, and hem you on every side. They will crush you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.
What a sad indictment. Now note this, he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Now we know that a city has inhabitants. We understand that. But I think of the revelation where the new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, and the one talking to John said, this is the Lamb's bride. Beulah land. Beulah means married. Married to the land. Jesus wanted to be joined, become one with that city. But the city didn't recognize him. The city didn't receive him. And because they didn't, he said, this is what's going to happen. All these things that you put so much attention on, especially the temple. At this particular time, it was Herod's temple. Okay? You think all this is beautiful and all this, and not one stone will be left on another. And Jesus wasn't gloating in it. He was weeping over the city because he knew what was going to happen. They didn't recognize him. And because they didn't recognize him, they didn't receive him. And because they didn't receive him, they left themselves wide open to the attack of the enemy. It's that way in anyone's life. When the Lord deals with our hearts through conviction by his Spirit, do we recognize the Lord? Do we open up to the Lord? Do we receive the Lord? You know, he's not rejoicing over people who perish and all this. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It grieves him that people don't recognize him, you understand? In this particular case, it's the city of Jerusalem. If you knew the hour of visitation, God came to earth and walked in your midst and you didn't even know God. You'll preach about him. You'll talk about him in your synagogues. You're worshiping in your temple and you don't even know who he is. How many people do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? They'll talk about him. They'll worship him in form and all this type thing. But when the Spirit of God comes into a service, they don't even know the Spirit of God, and many people want that shut off. We can't control it. We don't want that. We don't do that in our church and all this type thing. Listen, people, we better recognize our visitation. We have a window of time that God gives us. There's a song that says something like this. Did I do all I could do in the time that you gave me? And I'm not putting my emphasis on works. I'm putting my emphasis on what faith will do. It will have a corresponding action. Have I done everything that God has called me to do? Have I given God my best? Or have I reserved things for myself? Well, I'll let you go this far, but that's as far as you can go. You can have this, but I'm going to reserve this for me. You know, and isn't it interesting we give God maybe one, we say a day a week, we don't really give him the whole day. And then we want to reserve 6 days for ourselves. But we should be giving him 7 days. You understand? To where we're representing him 7 days, to where God's a priority in our life on Monday, just like we would make him a priority on Sunday. You know, we'll drop things to go to church. But sadly, it's so much form, not spirit. And the Lord would weep over that because we don't know him. They don't know him. I'm going to tell you, I have been so frustrated as a minister. The Spirit of God being the place, I mean, so mighty, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. People didn't even know they were in the presence of God. It's like the house. You remember where the four men carried the paralytic up on the roof to let him down? You read the narrative and it says the power of the Lord was present, but nothing was happening. The house was full. They couldn't even get in the house, but nothing was happening. People didn't recognize. Well, four men recognized if we get our friend down in front of him, we'll get him healed. We're going to tap in to that power. We've got to learn to look for the Lord. Not say, bless me if you can. But it'll be like the blind man we read about. Mm-hmm. Start crying out to the Lord. You understand? Get your heart wide open to the Lord. Those who seek Him, find Him.
Yeah.
You understand? Seek. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about something superficial. We're talking about if things aren't so obvious. In Hebrews 11:6, he tells us that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just casual. Well, if the Lord shows up, that's fine. But I'm not going to put forth a whole lot of effort to get him here. Do you know you prepare the environment of your heart? Do you come before the Lord with an expectation? You know, we come into service or even in a class. Do you come with an expectation of encountering God? Or do you just come to hear some man or woman teach? You know, what are you really looking for? Our role here is to represent God to you. Our role here is to get you subjected to the Word, not to bring attention to ourselves. But do you see God? Do you hear God? Is He speaking to your heart? Or are you just hearing people? And we need to learn to have an expectation. Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. The better I know you, the better I can serve you.
Mm-hmm.
The more clear I hear, the better chance I have of not missing what it is that you're wanting me to do. I want to be led by the Spirit, but I can't be led by the Spirit if all I'm thinking about is the flesh. You have to give time, pay attention to inside, not just what's going on outside, if you want to please God. You understand? I don't want the Lord weeping over me. I want Him rejoicing over me.
Amen.
You understand? Well done, good and faithful servant. You understand? That's what we want to hear, not why didn't you. But thank you. You understand? I like those words. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
There's people that gave to the Lord that changed my life. People influenced me along the way. We are to influence people along the way. I'm not talking about force feeding and, you know, just trying to force the Word of God in them and this type thing. I'm talking about being an example to them. Love them when they're not so lovable. You understand? Treat them right. Don't look at how they treat you. Treat them like you want them to treat you. You be the example. You see, we've already looked at that in what's called the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sermon on the Mount, as it's so often called. Jesus is giving us the instruction, and He's setting the example. And He did that those 3.5 years. And the majority of the people didn't even recognize Him. So He just weeps over the city.
Mm.
Sad, isn't it?
He went into the temple complex and began to throw out those who were selling. And He said, "It is written, My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Let's talk about that.
Boy, you get me on this. This could be a pet peeve of mine. It actually got me kicked out of a church, as a matter of fact. I'm telling you right now, if Jesus were to come into the average church today, He'd do the same thing. He would clean house. He'd throw their tables over and drive them out for desecrating the temple of God. Churches now, look at their marquees. It's fundraising. This supper, this dinner, this. You know, selling this, yard sale here, yard sale that, all this type stuff, advertising everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what's on the signs out in the front yard of churches. And when you get in, what's the activity? It's all flesh. And he was just driving that out. He said, you've made this one place that's merchandise. Don't merchandise the house of God. This is not a marketplace to buy and sell. You understand? He said, it should be called a house of prayer of all nations. This is a place you should come to meet God. Not raise money. And I'm telling you, boy, churches have got into that money deal, the money game. How much money can we get? How many buildings can we build? How big is our empire? How much prestige can we have? We want to impress people. God's not impressed at all with that stuff. He had Solomon's temple destroyed. That was probably the most impressive structure on earth. Herod's temple destroyed. God's not interested in that stuff. He's interested in the purity of our heart, our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And I can tell you right now, I don't want to be guilty of desecrating the temple of God by merchandising the place. You understand? And I can get very zealous for that. And so my time's up. Probably a good place to stop here so I don't go meddling. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get serious about it.